The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. Off we go into another week. We will have Jody Jackson, as we do every Monday, brought to you by Rockin' Protein. Jody on the Diamondbacks, huge series. If I would have told you back in July, look, it's going to come down to the final week with the Dodgers and Padres, and the Diamondbacks would be one game out of the postseason, none of you would have believed me. You would have said, I'm already interested in fake football in August. I'm already interested in training camp and my fantasy football teams. That's not how it works in sports, thank goodness. John Wilner will be with us today, Wilner Hotline, because I find the college season to be so compelling and so interesting week in and week out. What happened with Arizona State against Baylor, U of A, a litmus test this week against Iowa State. And we're seeing these schools, I don't know if you've noticed these schools that are coming in that usually are not in the top 25. Like Vanderbilt's in the top 25. Who had that on their bingo card? Nobody. There's other programs like the Blue Bloods. Yeah, there's still some of them. But I don't see Clemson anywhere. Oklahoma State, don't see them anywhere. Yeah, there's the typical, there's the Oregons and there's the Penn States. But I really believe if you look at college football, and in particular the Big 12 conference, it's wide open. It's fun. It's just college football is just a lot of fun. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. I'm going to follow up on that about the fun. So last night I'm watching NBC and it's the Giants and the Chiefs. It's just dreadful early season NFL football. And Cam Scataboo does what Cam Scataboo has done through the years at Arizona State. He scores a touchdown. He does a backflip and the announcers are completely losing their minds. Good God. They're completely losing their minds because it's a college kid who's just dang happy to be there in New York City. And we never see that on the pro side. We don't. Do we see guys that occasionally will do stuff like that? We don't see a rookie that just comes in and has a moment like Cam did last night, scoring his touchdown. And so the enthusiasm around college is just much, 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 much greater. The Super Cardinals yesterday, your Cardinals, they the James Conner injury, there's nothing to joke about there. There's nothing to joke about there. He's one of the better players at his position in the NFL. And it was a gruesome injury. I hate hearing the next man up. Gotta just get the next man up. Well, how about the guy that just went down, okay? I know the season is not going to be canceled, but it's just as though, yeah, piece of meat. We'll just get somebody else, and that's it. Oh, poor James Conner. We won't hear from him again until next March or April. And Cedric Benson's fine. Fine enough. Or Trey Benson, look at me. So I look at the Cardinals game and drop passes and just moments against a 49ers team that didn't nearly have their full roster. And somehow, some way, they let them off the hook, as a famous saying would go by a former coach of the Cardinals. So now they have to turn around on 4 days rest, 4 days notice, and meet Seattle. Very good team. Seattle absolutely destroyed and annihilated the Saints, a team that the Cardinals struggled to put away. Games at home should be a big-time litmus test again. I go back to that term because I think it's very fair to say for where the Cardinals are going this season. The bigger story, though, to me is the Diamondbacks by a long ways, because here they are. And tomorrow night, for those of you that give the very tired, very lame, very, woe is us, we don't deserve nice things in Arizona, I don't know where you came up with that. I don't know why you would come up with that. I don't know what the rationale is. This is nice things. Shohei Ohtani on the mound tomorrow night against the Diamondbacks in downtown Phoenix, a game out of the postseason. How tell me how this is, you can't have nice things. You can't have nice things and you've been in a pennant race? you're in the wild card race. Like, seriously, why do we have to go back to, oh, woe is us, woe is me? I don't know. I think Phoenix is a really darn good sports market. And when I hear the whining and crying and complaining, yeah, there's some teams that you know what you're going to get. There's some teams that you just know that this is what's going to happen. And then there's others where you could trade away and you could have injured. I'll just go down the list. The number of games that the bullpen has blown, this team could be, should be in first place in the National League West. And here they are, a game out. Feels so good. And you're in a space where I think tomorrow night, is it going to be 70% Dodger blue as it usually is? Probably. I can't control, and I really don't care about what the colors of the fans are in the seats. I just don't. Never been of interest to me. I'm always about what's going on the field. On the field, outside of Aaron Judge rolling in here, Cal Raleigh, or very few players, none of them come close to Ohtani and Ohtani pitching and then hitting tomorrow night. When you're trying to get into the postseason and you're desperately watching what the Reds are doing and what the Mets are doing, I can tell you what the Mets are doing. That's what the Mets are doing. So it's fun. This is what sports is meant to be, the great distraction. Get you out of whatever it is that's going on in your life and give you something else to look forward to and to take in. So we have that going on with the Diamondbacks. We have the Cardinals situation. We have the Ryder Cup this week. I did an interview with Jim Bones McKay that I'm going to post probably tomorrow. Bones and I talking about the Ryder Cup and chopping it up. I'm very much looking forward to the Ryder Cup. I will tell you right now, and it's this is not meant in any way to disparage the relationships that you're in. Wives, if your husband isn't into sports, tell him to go make plans this weekend, starting Thursday. Thursday you have the Cardinals game, then you have the Ryder Cup, and you have high school, and then you have all these games, these college games this week are tremendous. Just all over the place, great. Oregon against Penn State. We'll talk to John Wilner a little bit later on about that. You have Alabama and Georgia this week. The ASU game against TCU on Friday night is interesting. Husbands, if your soulmate is not into sports this week, better make some plans. Because I can tell you that from Thursday through Sunday, right down to the finishing day of the Ryder Cup with the NFL, in my space, fortunately, she's going to want to watch more of it than me. I may want to go work out. I may want to go for a bike ride. I may want to go play golf. And instead, I'm going to get, oh, no, let's just stay in. That's what's going to happen here. It's a unique situation. It's how you make it all these years. So that's what's going on my mind. It is this is Suns Media Week on Wednesday. It's Media Day, I believe. And that's going to be just a barrel of monkeys. Yep, everybody's doubting us. Yep, everybody's hating on us. Yep, nobody thinks we're going to do anything this year. Yep, that's pretty predictable. And the Mercury are alive, the semifinals of the WNBA. So we have a lot going on, our busy little slice of heaven. Up next, we will have Jody Jackson. Jody Jackson and I chop it up on the Cardinals yesterday, and more importantly, the Diamondbacks. That is next. Here she is. Is that Sedona Red, by the way, that you are sporting today?
It could be.
It
It's a
could
little
be.
light for Sedona Red, but let's go with Sedona
Let's
Red.
just go with Sedona Red. Jody Jackson is with us for a few minutes. I brought to you by Shamrock Farms and Rockin' Protein. I bring this up because I'm going to focus a lot on the Diamondbacks because that is the story here in the Valley. I have to know, take the listener, the viewer down into the dugout. Is there a different feel, or is this just still a bunch of dudes playing baseball?
I mean, it's a bunch of young dudes that some have been in the spot before and some have not, and they've just reemerged from who they were. It's literally like a makeover, right? But unintended. You sort of you lost assets, you lost some talent, you lost some people, in there that were great people, and you've reemerged as this different group. And it's this energetic, fun brand of like, hey, we're going to take our shot. We're going to play free. A lot of times it's working. Occasionally it won't. We've seen some aggressive base running, but no, they're, f I mean, I think Blaze Alexander is kind of the poster boy for the fun
Yes.
energy,
Yes.
but he's not the only one. And, yesterday it was kind of cool to see two young guys get their home, Jorge Barroza, who a lot of people look at him and think he can't hit a home run. Well, by the way, all the small statured guys on this Diamondbacks team can and do hit homers, but Jorge is he's almost Altuve size, right? Like he's pretty small. He hit a homer, Tim Tawa hit a homer, and man, it's like take your pick of what things. What was your favorite moment? Was it Corbin Carroll becoming the first D-back to go 30-30? I mean, that's kind of an obvious one. Was it Eduardo Rodriguez, the older veteran
Yes.
guy? Was it Barroza's homer? What was it? I mean, there's so many moments that this team has been able to generate. So, yeah, the dugout's always alive. I mean, to be honest, it was alive before. It's just a little bit different now. It's guys that are like Philip Abner comes in, strikes out Kyle Schwarber.
Right.
I think he probably thought he could do that. We were maybe more skeptical. I met him the other day, and it's like, who is this guy and what is he doing? So. That's the kind of vibe that is going on right now.
I like the silent treatment of Barroso, by the way.
It's a great
It's
tradition, right?
right. No, it's and you stole my thunder. That's why you're Jody Jackson. That's why you're Jody bleeping Jackson, because you steal my thunder
Didn't mean
when.
to steal your
No,
question.
it's
Come
fine. It was my
on.
thought. I thought I was the only one that was brilliant enough to say, this is like a Blaze Alexander team or like a Cam Scadamou throwback dude that just likes to play ball, that doesn't care about, clicks, impressions, spotlight, jersey sales, showing up in the tabloids. There's no tabloids in Phoenix, but like Cam in New York City. The comparison to those two, I'm watching them both on Sunday saying, oh my gosh, I need more of this in sports, Jody.
Yeah. When Blaze and I just cracked me up, like Blaze and Perdomo and Lawler, when they jump up to like celebrate, I just don't want them to like hit each other too hard. They're almost playing football out there. That's how much fun they're having, right? They're jumping in the air, they're bouncing off of each other, and no, it's really cool to see. So it's yeah. I mean, no one, again, Brad, when you do things that people don't expect.
Right.
That's where, and you're kind of just lying in wait. You're kind of just
Yes.
playing, seeing what's going to happen. You're just watching slowly as Zach Gallen is getting better and Eduardo Rodriguez gets better. And it's crazy. And guess what, though, now? This game, which can be so beautiful and so cruel, you have to continue to do it now for six more games. And you really have to play free and not feel pressure, and yet know that the pressure kind of is high, right? Like it's not a pressure like, oh my God, you have to make it or bust, right? It's just like an intensity of like, now that we've come this far, we have to cash in, right? So
Sure.
can they do it? It's going to be against the best. It's literally going to be against Shohei Ohtani pitching at Chase Field on Tuesday, and of course hitting. It's too bad that when he pitches, maybe he could just not hit.
But it's like Brandon Pfaadt's last outing was as good as we've seen out of Brandon Pfaadt. Okay. And I would say this season, the wins and losses say that he's had a good year. Okay. I think he's had a decent year,
He's
right?
had some rough ones. Let's be, yeah, he's had some rough
Yeah.
ones that we didn't really, we thought maybe, okay, he's past this and he's been rough, so.
Yeah. So tomorrow night, here he is following up a tremendous start. Is he going to be able to follow it up where the eyeballs of the country in sports, in baseball in particular, are going to be focused on the other dude, Shohei Ohtani? And you're a game out of the wild card race. Like, this is really a spot for Brandon Pfaadt. And he's been in postseason before. And I think he's a number one someday. Someday. Is it this week where he and Zach Gallen are 1 and 1A? Kind of like Corbin Burns was supposed to be. That's kind of how I'm looking at this deal, Jody.
I mean, you can. I mean, I even look back, and this is a bad memory, but I look back to the last week of the season last year,
Yep.
and he had a really bad outing, really bad outing. And Zach Gallen had to come and restore order the next day. And you know what? I think he'll, is he going to think of it? I mean, I'm not going to bring it up. But,
Are you
he'll
working the
be.
games?
Yeah, so I'm covering these three against the Dodgers. I'm looking forward. It's
Wow.
going to be nuts. It's going to be, it
Yeah.
always is crazy energy anyway when the Dodgers are there. And then
Yeah.
you add this element to it. Like the D-backs have to win. They need to win most of these games. They're going to be scoreboard watching. The fans will be scoreboard watching. And, I just think they have to, and why was that outing bad last year? I don't know. Was it the pressure? I hope not. I mean, I don't think so. Last year, everyone talked about the final week being that Sunday in Milwaukee being this carryover downer. I don't even know if that was it, honestly. Like, I think that they just blew it. Like, they had a bullpen blow up on the Sunday, the second to last Sunday before the season ended. I actually think that it was just that they didn't pitch very well and they didn't play very well in the next games. And it was the Giants and the Padres. It's always going to be the division, right? And these teams that
Sure.
only the, I think someone was telling me, like, the Nats and the White Sox like play each other like that. If you're a notoriously bad team, like you're gonna be end up playing like some random team the final week. If you're the D-backs who have been very relevant, like you're gonna be playing your division rivals. And these games are so important. So and then it's Ohtani, it's Snell, it's Yamamoto.
Yep.
They're throwing their best guys out there, and then the Padres series in San Diego will be hopefully if they do their job here, if they win the series or, then it's going to be really interesting in San Diego too. But yeah, are you going to come out? You should come out,
I should come out.
come on out and help us cheer on the team
I
and
sit in st I sit in the press. I want to sit in stands. I don't want
yeah,
to
well,
sit in
I'm
a
not,
hermetically
yeah,
sealed press box
technically
where
I'm not
it's,
cheering, but
well, you
you
have to.
gotta
You're object look, you're objective, but the deal is you're in the midst of a great story. I could ask you, I could be that guy that said, well, Jody, imagine if they would have had a bullpen this year that didn't come out with gas can and matches for a lot of nights. How many games up would they be in the entire division? They probably have the best record in the National League, and I'm not kidding. But I'm
Yeah.
not going to be
Well,
that.
here's the funny thing though, Brad, about that. Like last year, everyone was pointing to that Milwaukee game on September, 21st, whatever it was. This year, I mean, you can point to any, there's so many, you can't even count them. I mean, there's so many
Just.
that got away or whatever. Most of them bullpen, like I remember sitting at Wrigley, we scored 10, the D-backs scored 10 runs
Yep.
sitting in that dugout, so, or next to the dugout, and then they lose that game. So, I mean, there were four or five of those, maybe more. There was the 1-0 the other day, which is so rare. It's so rare that that happens. I have a hard time hanging this season on the offense didn't do their job one day because the offense does their job most days. But gonna be a lot of fun. Really excited to get to this week's action.
Yeah, it'll be fun. What do you think about the Cardinals? What can you say about the Cardinals today?
Really disappointed. I mean, they had a great chance. They had every opportunity there to go 3-0, which 3-0 is no joke. You can get a
Sure.
on a division opponent, win that game in San Francisco. They don't have Purdy. They don't Purdy to me. I don't need to tell you. I think he's a special guy. Apparently, Mac Jones was special enough to get it done the other day. I mean, they're a solid organization, solid team. I mean, the Cardinals have done a great job with this defense. And that was one of the things that crossed my mind, just narratives. I won't break down like every little thing here, but the general sentiment, you've spent money and you've improved the defense. You have Josh Sweat, Calais Campbell out there doing what they're doing, and the offense can't get two first downs to end this. And to me, it's not on Kyler Murray. Yesterday, it was on the wide receivers not catching balls. We saw it time and time again. I know they lost
Marvin
Jalen
Harrison
Waddle.
Jr. looked like he was going to cry in the locker room. I saw
Yeah,
a clip of him. He just
here's
looked
my thing.
devastated.
And look, I'll be very transparent here. My son and Connor, he's a quarterback, and we watch a lot of football. And I've watched obviously many more years of football than he has, but there's something that quarterbacks do and offenses do to get guys, and I'm on board with this. Have Marvin Harrison catch some easy plays early in a game.
Get in
I've
that
seen it so
game.
many times. I saw it on Saturday. Teams get hot. When you
Yep.
have a hot quarterback and a hot receiver, when you certain guys, it's not so much about the quarterback, but when you can get your receivers involved early or the running backs or whoever, get it going with easy or high percentage plays. I feel like Marvin a lot of times is in these desperate situations and he's not coming up clutch. So maybe run some of these shorter routes, run some of these isolations, get him going, get him hot a little bit. I know it's the Rams game is the one to point to last year that that happened. But I just don't think that there's a lot right now for him in these moments that He doesn't look confident.
No, he doesn't
Leaves us
sound
wondering.
confident.
Yeah, it leaves us wondering, is he running the right routes? Is he in the right place? Is he? And then you're wondering, is it on him? Is it on Kyler? Is it on Drew Petzing? What's going on? Zay Jones has to catch the ball. I mean, really, Kyler, yesterday, he did get saved on the could have been safety, but
Yes.
that didn't happen. So we'll take that off the board. It could have been another sort of boneheaded moment trying to throw the ball away. But you got to catch the ball, and receivers, we talk about receivers are a dependent group of people. I mean, the quarterback, I feel like I've heard that narrative through the years, and that's true. They are dependent on the quarterback, but the quarterback is also dependent on the receivers making the plays that they have to make.
Well, okay. So you have Seattle here on Thursday. It's a short week. You lose James Conner. That's a bummer. Here's a guy that is well regarded, well respected, runs with authority. This whole deal about next man up, Trey Benson, I'm sorry. It's fine enough, but he's not James Conner. So let's just stop with the next man up. Somebody's got to get out there. But Seattle comes in here and they look really good. They do. And I don't feel good about this Thursday at all. It's a home game.
Well, they've been running the ball well. They obviously, demolished the Saints. They have a, I remember, one of the things you got to look out for on defense is one of the many, Leonard Williams. You've got a lot of guys that can wreck a game there on their defense. Let's start with their defense first. So the offensive line has got to do a great job this week. And, I don't think they've been horrible. I think they could have been better. I think they were not as good as I thought they could have been
They've
against
been meh,
Carolina. Yeah,
meh.
they need to come up with a big performance. And then, Kyler had some, good moments yesterday, and he's got it. And the other thing is, if it takes targeting Trey McBride double digit times, let's do that. Like, whatever you have to do, you've got to do it, because you don't have a group of reliable pass catchers. You just don't. You might think you do on paper, you might see it in practice. It's not happening in the games. So, whether it's McBride, they're gonna have to, maybe it's Michael Carter coming up. I understand that's not gonna solve everything, but I have liked what I've seen from limited action for Michael Carter. It's, James Conner injury is horrible. It was horrible to see. I think we all agree that that can be really difficult to overcome, but I think they can do it. I think they have other guys that can come in, and they can switch they're gonna have to switch the offense up a bit. But already he was getting less carries this year. So if you're just, it's horrible, but if you're looking for a silver lining, it's that, hey, you were kind of relying on Trey Benson more. So we'll see what happens. But you're right, they have to get right quickly. These are Thursday night games are, I heard AQ Shipley talking yesterday after the game on the radio about, it can be easier because you're cutting back the playbook and you're keeping it simple. That sounds great as long as you can go out and execute it. And a lot of times that means pounding the ball on the ground. So hopefully that happens.
That is a smiling Jody Jackson in her somewhat Sedona red about the Diamondbacks. And I'd say Cardinal red too. So fair enough on a Monday. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
And we're back with more after this timeout. John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Nationally syndicated columnist joins us each and every week. Wilner Hotline, of course, you can find on the site. All right, partner, biggest litmus test this week. Let's just get right to it. Is it U of A undefeated against Iowa State? Is it Arizona State, a tremendous win on the road against Baylor? Now they've got TCU on a short week on Friday night. Bigger litmus test, John Wilner, U of A or ASU this week?
I would say Arizona. I mean, this is, we'll see if Arizona is legit. Iowa State, if not the best team in the Big 12, certainly short list. Going to Ames, tough environment. Both teams have had extra time to prepare, so there's no competitive disadvantage either way. But this will tell us if Brent Brennan's program is, made the jump from last year and is ready to contend. I don't think Arizona has to win the game, but I'd like to see if Arizona can be competitive into the fourth quarter. That will tell us a lot. I don't know that Kansas State really gave us much Kansas State could be really bad this year. So I'm very interested to see how Arizona handles itself.
You've been big on them. You've been bullish since the
I'm
start of the
bullish
season.
because the schedule works. After they get through with Iowa State, there's some winnable games on there. Oklahoma State, winnable. They get BYU 1 week before the Cougars play the Holy War. It's lined up pretty well for Arizona to get to 6 wins at this point, and that regardless of how they do Saturday in Ames. But they look better. Fafita looks unencumbered, I think, maybe. He doesn't look like he's playing with the burden of expectations like he did last year. Defense is much better coached under Danny Gonzalez, and they seem to be able to run the ball. In fact, I'd argue they should be running the ball more. They got away from it a little bit against Kansas State, and that's when the game started to shift.
The Sun Devils to me are showing poise. Yes, they had a breakdown defensively at the end of the Mississippi State game. Even in that game, John, in the first half, that game could have been a runaway. Under previous administrations, they would have just caved in. And I thought at Baylor, there just was a feeling of like, we're going to find a way. We're just going to hang around there. I think poise is something that hasn't been talked enough about with the Kenny Dillingham regime. All that's been is, here's this young coach, now exciting, and he does things differently. And it's, now there's something going on behind the scenes there where the team is just very even keeled and going about their business and going to be in a position to win.
I agree. And we saw that last year too when they got way behind against Texas. They have grit and they don't get flustered. I would say you could make the case that the Mississippi State game, that was a game they arguably deserved to win and lost. And I would say Baylor is a game they deserved to lose and won. They were +3 in turnovers, and yet they still, it goes down to the wire. If you're +3 in turnovers, it should never go down to the wire. They repeatedly got stopped in the red zone and had to settle for short field goals. That's another signal that, you know what, maybe you don't deserve to win that game. But they found a way. They got the drive. They made the field goal. Good for them. I would say, the cosmic balancing is probably right between Mississippi State and the Baylor games.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Wilner Hotline, nationally syndicated columnist. Always good to have John with us, dropping knowledge. I want to get over to the national scene with you because if you open up and look at the AP poll or the coaches, any poll today, you're going to see schools that we just haven't seen through the years. We haven't seen Vanderbilt ranked in the top 20. Texas Tech, yeah, they're throwing a lot of money at it. And then on the other side of the street, we haven't seen Clemson be just dreadful, or Oklahoma State look like they're on the edge of, going a different direction, or what's gone on out at UCLA. John, I feel as though that what's going on nationally, even Missouri being ranked, like it's programs we
Georgia
haven't
Tech.
seen. And so is there something to the transfer portal and the dollars that Vanderbilt is throwing at players versus Clemson saying, yeah, we're just not going to play that game? What do you think?
Well, certainly Dabo Swinney has not played that game as much as other coaches with the portal. I think that there is some balance to it for sure. You also see Penn State, Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, but there's more schools invited to the country club, it seems like. And I think that's good for the sport. We're also seeing that manifest a little bit in some of the the quote unquote group of five conferences. The American, the Tulane has beaten Duke and Northwestern. Memphis just beat Arkansas. Army beat Kansas State. The American Conference has 6 wins against power four schools. The Big Ten has five. The Big Ten has only beaten five teams from the ACC, Big 12, or SEC. The Americans got 6 wins. The ACC, I think, is 4-10 against the other power leagues. So there, we're seeing the American is doing very well. South Florida beat Florida. There's another case. So there is more balance. There's more teams involved. I mean, look at just Indiana, right? They were on the national scene last year, but they're a newcomer for sure.
For sure. Yeah.
It's at secondary levels, you see a UNLV rising up a little bit. Tulane, it's great for the sport to have new schools involved being talked about.
I want to dive into the Big 12 for a minute. Is it, in your view, my view is they have surpassed the Big 10. There's nothing really interesting to me about the Big 10 outside of Michigan against Ohio State. And yeah, the story of Indiana and Illinois, and that all sounds good. That all reads good. Penn State, obviously, this week with their game against Oregon, we're going to find out an awful lot about them. But, John, if you look at the Big 12, last Saturday it was Utah-Texas Tech in a prime slot. In the evening, it was Baylor-Arizona State in a prime slot. And the other games that were on were garbage.
Yeah. Well, they took advantage of the schedule in the Big Ten to get, you know, because the, it's all based on the windows and who's available to play in those windows. But, yeah, the Big 12 is the most interesting league. To me, there's no question. And it's that way in football. It's that way in men's basketball. And it's that way off the field with some of the initiatives they're doing, like putting the ASU game in London, right? That's next year. I think they're playing in London next year. So they are very interesting. And part of the reason they're interesting is they don't have any blue bloods. There isn't an Ohio State that's just sitting at the top of the standings, king of the hill, right? It's open. It's wide open. And I like that. I would say this, though. If you look at the Big 10, Big 12 competitively, what you don't necessarily see teams that you say, that's a championship contender, right? The Big 10, Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, you can credibly make the case they are all national title contenders. I don't know if the Big 12's got any, but the Big 12's got 10 or 12 schools that are good. There's a lot of quality depth, which creates parity, which creates chaos, which creates fun.
No, well, maybe that's my point, is the depth of the Big 12 is better than the depth of the Big 10.
Yes, the difference between number 1 and number 16 is much smaller in the Big 12. And we saw that last year with ASU pick 16th,
right,
winning the conference, right?
Right?
Whereas the difference in the Big 10 between Ohio State and
Purdue,
well, Purdue or Northwestern or UCLA. I mean, the Big Ten, the bottom of the Big Ten is bad, bad. And that could hurt the conference. But there's a much bigger disparity between the tops and bottoms. And that's true in the ACC and the SEC as well. Big 12, it is small. That is the league's calling card. And they do a good job of playing to that narrative of the parity.
Before I get you out of here, this weekend, a ton of good games.
Oh, it's loaded.
It's loaded with good games. So, you know, Georgia-Alabama is a nightcap for me. Yeah, I'm really into that. What about you? Pick a game or two off the board that you just can't wait to see this weekend.
Well, let me pick three because it's all interrelated. 9 a.m. on Fox, USC at Illinois. 12:30 on CBS, Ohio State at Washington. 4:30 on NBC, Oregon at Penn State. USC, Washington, Oregon. 9 a.m., 12:30, 4:30. This is the reason those schools joined the Big Ten. For that, well, plus the money. For the
start with the money.
for the visibility you're going to get. And here they are. It's like a triple header of the West Coast schools in the Big Ten. They're all playing ranked opponents. Great opportunity for them. I'm going to be real curious. Each has got a competitive disadvantage. SC's playing the 9 a.m. body clock kickoff in Champaign-Urbana, right? Washington, Ohio State's coming off a bye, and Oregon going to Happy Valley for a whiteout, and Penn State's coming off a bye. So, to me, the way it's lined up, 1, 2, 3, 9 a.m., 12:30, 4:30 for the West Coast schools, I can't wait for that.
Are they ready for it? I mean, this is their big stage, John.
I kind of think they are.
It's like watching UCLA in the Big Ten and you're saying, how long until they try to get out?
Well, yeah, they're not ready for the Big Ten.
No.
I think the others, Oregon certainly is. I think USC is. And we don't know that Illinois is really any good. They just lost 63-10 at Indiana.
Right.
For me, the kickoff time is as big a challenge for a USC as Illinois is going to be. Washington, I think Washington's ready, but it just could be Ohio State's just better. That's a you know they're so loaded, but we'll see. The fact is, Husky Stadium is you know that's a long hard trip, and
Sure.
it'll be the first road start for Julian Saia and the Ohio State quarterback.
One other question, I'll get you out of here. And it's very early, but if you look at the Heisman Trophy race right now, early on in this season, is it pretty well defined? Are there just two or three guys? Or you look at it and say, wow, a month in, we can't figure this one out.
I think that we'll know a lot more after this weekend because of all the big games you mentioned, right? Including Alabama, Georgia. I think there'll be a lot more clarity once we get through Saturday. But it is interesting right now that I believe the betting front runners are both guys that started in the old Pac-12. Jon Mateer, the Oklahoma quarterback who was at Washington State, and Indiana quarterback Fernando Mendoza, who just threw what he threw five touchdowns against Illinois. He was at Cal last year. Cal, yeah, look at Cal. They got the Heisman, one of the Heisman front runners, and their current quarterback. I mean, Cal was bad Saturday, but their freshman quarterback is lights out. Who would have figured?
Let you go off that. Appreciate your time and insights as always, John. Have a great week.
Thanks,
Thanks.
Brad.